Hey guys, welcome back for another episode of the Game Boys Podcast. This is Game Boys Podcast number 9. It is May 12th, and I'm here with Bozeman.
Hey guys, Bozeman here. Just here to hang out with you guys and talk about some good video game topics.
We got some good ones for you, but first, you know, what have you been doing, pal?
Doing nothing, but I know I've said this the past two episodes, but I am completely moved in.
So moved out, moved in,
got my deposit back, so I'm in good spirits right now, man.
It's We're hitting the bar tonight. Dime, because he's got that sweet deposit back.
Yeah, just spending it all. So it's good stuff, man. And I am continuing to pare down my video game collection even further. And there's a lot of interesting purchases I'm thinking about making. I'm not to ramble too much, but I'm thinking about purchasing the Super NT.
Oh yeah, yeah. For those of you who don't know, Super NT is basically a hardware accurate reproduction of a Super Nintendo that's got HDMI out and stuff, so it's like a Cadillac of Super Nintendos. Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Yeah, I just figured since I gave you the CRT, and I just really want a good way to play my game, because I was almost going to play my Retron 5, and that's just such a... Retrons are good for people who like just start getting into collecting.
Yeah.
But it's not good for people who've been collecting for a while. I can't, and I was playing games on the CRT you own now, and I'm just picturing emulating again, and I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So I really just want to go something like this. Plus the Mario Paint and stuff like that work on it really well.
Okay.
And I still haven't played that one game that you gave me. You have it up there.
Mario and Wario.
And I was like staring at that, and that would be cool to finally play that. So
yeah,
it plays Famicom games easily and all that. You don't have to worry about the prongs blocking it.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, man, things are really good. So what about you? What have you been up to?
Not a lot. Nothing. Everything. Just same old shit. So the spring semester is over for me, and the summer is here, and the summer is always slow for me. So
are you not doing summer classes at all?
No, I need a break after that last semester.
I probably need a break, but I'm not,
yeah. Well, my classes are very like technical.
Yeah.
And I'm burnt out on... I took two very difficult programming classes at the same time last semester, and it was like kind of fried my brain a bit, because it's like learning multiple languages at once.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I need to take a step back. After last semester, I'm not even sure if it's necessarily for me. So I just need to kind of take a step back and...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, just not a big... I don't know. I didn't take to it, so
I have to take an introduction to computers class. So I feel your pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you'll learn what the minimize button does.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Well, you got anything to talk about today, or
you're calling me out on it? Okay. I played the recently. I think maybe like a week or two ago almost now, they put on the Sony PlayStation Store the Detroit Become
Human
demo was posted.
So play that?
I did. So I've been looking forward to this game for a long time, because I didn't have a PS4 when like the big long trailer came out. Not like the... because they had like a teaser that later became it, but the actual like big one where it showed the hostage scenario and everything. So I've been looking forward to this game for a while, and that was the game where I was only gaming on my Wii U occasionally and PC at that point. So I went, okay, well, I'm definitely going to get a PS4 at some point because of this game. I don't feel so much that this is why I own my system now, because there's so many other great games out there for it, but I enjoyed the demo. I do think it's for everybody. I think you have to really like those kind of games, because I've already seen people flood the comment sections of various social media platforms and say people really either really like it, or they're just like, it's not a game.
I mean, it's almost a visual novel game.
Yeah. Like, but I do just like the idea of many different scenarios happening, and I do, after the whole my scenario was done with, I could definitely see how it would affect the storyline later on, because they, like, give you little notes. Mm-hmm. Just to walk you guys through the demo real quick, it's not a huge spoiler, because this has been shown off in the original big trailer. You're doing the hostage scenario with Connor, the hostage android negotiator. So, you get put into investigation mode, so you have a mode where you can, like, you know, go into bop mode and look around you, and you see everything you can interact with.
Right.
And it just kind of gives you, like, a sort of a checklist of things that you information you can gather. And every time you gather information, it'll show you, like, a probability of, like, how likely you are to do successful in whatever scenario you're in. Specifically, the android has taken a kid hostage. It's like gone berserk.
That's like the trailer they show.
It's exactly the trailer. You're just playing the trailer. That's all it is. So, but I enjoyed it. Just it's definitely wasn't like too challenging on the brain at all so far. I do hope that's my only gripe so far, is that I didn't feel like it was any type of challenge to, like, investigate the scene.
Well, it was an opening to the game.
Yeah. So it's definitely dipping your toes into it. And I ended up, you can do different things, but, like, you learn, like, the android's name, and then your probability goes up. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, learn the name of the android. That way I can enter the scenario and say, hey, Daniel! And, like, the android's freaked out. How did you know my name? And, like, get him off his guard.
Nice.
So I thought that was really cool. And there was I could definitely see so many different ways to approach it. I ended up picking up a gun, but what I'm getting at about how it affects storyline later on, when I picked up the gun, it went, note, androids are not allowed to use weapons. Mm. So I have a feeling the fact that I chose that route and took the gun, and I ended up lying to the android who asked if I was armed, and I said, no, I'm not armed. And then I ended up taking him out later. I got him to trust me, and I got him to lower his guard. He just went, I just want this all to end, blah, blah, blah. And then it went, I can either intimidate him or execute him, like, immediately.
Yeah.
And I just went, I'm not giving this guy a chance in the world. He's gone.
He just kidnapped a kid. Took
he kidnapped
hostage.
The kid. Well, and he killed the kid's father and killed another cop. And I'm like, I'm not taking chances with this guy. He's dead. As soon as I have a chance to kill him, he's gone. And that's what I did. So I have a feeling that later on in this scenario, it's going to come up that I used the gun and that I took the android out. I wonder if there's a pacifist. I'm sure there is, like, a more pacifist approach where the android doesn't die.
Right.
So,
and he probably shows up later and saves you or something.
Yeah. I don't think you have anything to lose by trying the demo out, because it only took me, like, maybe 10, 15 minutes to play the demo.
So. Oh, okay.
So don't think, like, it's a daunting thing to try it out. Just,
I'll give it a try later.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm interested in that game mildly. I'll probably pick it up when it's fit $20 or less, because those games don't sell well. And for whatever reason, in the last 10 years, like, the game companies seem to have forgotten that visual novel games are not mainstream, and they keep pushing them like they are. So that's why people get so upset, because for years they're like, Heavy Rain's coming out, gonna be a big deal, and then most people don't like those types of games.
Yeah.
So it's just like you're doing the bait and switch where you're pushing this game like it's a big blockbuster game, and then the most people just want Call of Duty or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then so they boot it up and they're like, what is this? This is just walking around and stuff.
Yeah. To me, I'm just happy it's happening, just because most visual novel games I play are very low budget indie games.
So I mean, but cool stuff. My point was that so they sell usually not great, and then what happens is that the games, since it's like a game they're pushing to be like a big title, they have so many copies of them that within like a year, like Heavy Rain was like $10.
Yeah. So I'm kind of on that point fence too, man. And the thing is, it's so silly because I wanted a PS4 for this game.
Yeah.
But I'm also getting to the point where I have too many games anyway. I don't get to buy it.
So yeah. Everybody and their mom has been like, did you get that new God of War? And it's just like, it looks cool. I hear it's really, really good, but I have no attachment to the series, and I can wait until
it's going to be $20
in a year.
Games like that, everyone buys them, and then everybody
and then
gives them back.
Yeah,
and then you have a huge surplus of, and like you said earlier, they print so many of those games. It's going to be a $20 game at some point.
By Black Friday, it'll be $20.
Yeah,
because I mean, you look at some of the games this last Black Friday. that came out. Wolfenstein came out 2 weeks before Black Friday, and it was $25.
Yeah,
on Black Friday. So
Doom didn't take long to go down in price. So yeah,
yeah, it's it looks interesting. I'll check it out. All right, so we got some big news this week. We talked about this the last podcast, and I was right on the money. I said either by now, from in between now and E3, they'll talk about the virtual console and the online, and they did.
They certainly did.
We got the online details. So
online deets coming at you.
So yeah, there was a leak ahead of time. I don't know if you heard about this on GameFAQs or whatever. It was a GameFAQs leak, and then turns out that a lot of it was true. And basically, the online is, if you want to play your games online, Splatoon, Mario Kart, Smash Brothers, it's $20 a year, and it's using the app still for the voice chat.
That was the most alarming part of the news for me.
Yeah.
So let's just go over the details real quick and then give our opinions.
Okay. Go over them.
Well, the Nintendo Switch Online, yeah, $20 a year. There's also going to be a family plan, which I believe is $35 a year. I don't quite understand how that works, because people online are like, well, that means you can share with your friends. I don't know if they're going to be... No, I assume that means the same household.
Yeah. So on the same Switch. That's what it is. So it's like, daddy has the Switch, and there's three kids in the house, and they all have their own little profiles on the Switch, and now they can just hop on and play online games because daddy bought the family plan for $35. So up to 8 accounts on that Switch can use it.
Yeah.
So
there's that, and there's the cloud saving system, which people have mixed reactions about that, just because it's behind a paywall. People have been asking for a way to back up their save data, and the only way to do it is behind a paywall, which... To be fair, like, I do think Nintendo needs to offer a way to locally save backup data. That is no question. I'm not going to defend that.
They have an SD card slot. There should be an option to put your saves on the SD card.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that the paywall for the clouds is necessarily a huge surprise to me, just because Sony does that, Xbox does that. That's
right.
That's
the problem is that it's the only option.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the problem.
I completely agree. And we also got so in regards to virtual console, so far they just said that it's not clear what they mean, which is Nintendo's specialty. They're really good at
it. I mean, it's pretty clear to me. I don't think it's clear.
Well,
it's gone, but they're replacing it with this service, which is, to start, they're going to have 20 NES games.
Here's 10 of them so far. We got Ice Climber, Legend of Zelda, Balloon Fight, Soccer, Tennis, Mario Brothers, as in the original arcade one, Super Mario Brothers, Dr. Mario, Super Mario Brothers 3, and the Donkey Kong. All these are the Nintendo ports, not the original. But yeah, those are the 10 games they've announced so far. I don't think it's that bad so far, just because I felt that when they launched this service, we were going to get like maybe 3 games, and I thought they were going to be like just 2 whatever games and like Mario 2 or something like that.
Well, they're adding online multiplayer.
That's cool. Well, they've already announced that in the past.
Sure, but they were more specific this time about what you could do with it.
Yeah.
So it's, you can play with your friends in the two-player modes. You can spectate your friends as they play them. Or you can switch the controller off. So
right, just like Sony's share play service.
Right. So like, you know, you're playing Legend of Zelda, which is a one-player game. Your friend can spectate you, and then you can be like, oh, hey, you play for a while, and I'll watch you. So, I'm all for... Okay, so here's some things. Here's some problems. And here's some... Hopefully not problems, but this is what I see being an issue. I'm all for getting rid of the virtual console and turning it into, like, a Netflix service. Okay? But here's the problem, okay? A, I don't care about that much about NES games, and that seems like that's what they're going all in on. No mention of anything beyond NES games. They mentioned briefly a while back that there would be some Super Nintendo games, but the fact that at the opening of this, they're just going to have all NES games and nothing else worries me a bit. Also, if it's... I want it to be like a Netflix service, but I don't want there to be games constantly coming in and out. Okay, if I want to play Mario 3, I want to be able to play it whenever. I should be able to download. First of all, I don't know if this is streaming or not. If it's streaming, it's going to be a problem because you can't play those old games with any latency. And so streaming is a problem. Okay, because first of all, the internet on the Switch isn't that great. Like, I have mine plugged directly in and I have 1 gigabit internet and I get 30 megs or something like that plugged directly in. So it's not great. You can't stream those games. You can't. You can't stream Mario 3 and it feel right because everything's about timing and stuff. So then it begs the question, well, so can I download these games? Well, that's the ideal situation is they have a service, they have the virtual console service, and they have all these games up there that they put, and you can download the virtual console or the Nintendo Classics file onto your Switch and can play it whenever, and even if it goes off the server or whatever, it's still downloaded onto your Switch, just same way that the Wii service was, where it's like they took games down but you could still play the ones that you had downloaded. Mm-hmm. That in my mind is what it needs to be. If you're just totally removing the ability to buy them and replacing it with the service, then yeah, there needs to be a way where, hey, I've had Nintendo Online and they've released 80 games and I've downloaded all 80 of them, and then it's irrelevant to me whether or not they're taking them on or off. Also, and you just do it like a system like Sony does, where it's like, yeah, you get your PS Plus games, but if you don't have PS Plus,
you can't play them anymore.
You can't play it until you get it. But they don't take them away forever.
Right.
It's just as soon as you reactivate your PS Plus account, you can play them again. So, in my mind, it needs to be something like that. If it's just going to be like what they originally said, where it's, these games are around for a month, and then they're gone, then that's not a good replacement for Virtual Console.
No.
So,
well, that's what I mean by, Nintendo's very good at making announcements, and then
not giving
enough details, and then us having like answering stuff, but ends up giving us like 1,000 more questions than what they actually answered. So it's just, I just wish if their marketing department was better at press releases. That's all it is. If they were just clear about what this service actually is, because right now I'm just like you. I'm just anxious about it because it sounds neat, but also pretty underwhelming. So far, too, it's just too little for what the video game market has set as a standard at this point.
I mean, they need to be clear on how many games they're gonna release every week. How many can you keep them? How long are they gonna be around for? And most importantly, are they going to expand? You know, what's going to be their plan moving forward? Is there going to be N64 games? And are they going to do a lot of them? Like, I would have happily paid 2 or 3 times more for this service if I can get more games and shit. Like, because I would have easily ended up spending probably $60 a year on Virtual Console anyway, just for the convenience of having those games that I want to play.
Yeah.
So I don't mind, like, I wish I could have just paid more and got more better games. And also I will pay more if they need to. Like I said earlier, the streaming is not going to work. I'm curious to see where they go with it, because it needs to be downloaded locally. Because, and then you also have the problem of, you're not always online. What if you're on a plane or whatever and you want to play these games? So I think it'll be fine if you can download the games on your system and then they don't just miraculously disappear when they disappear off the eShop or whatever. It'll be fine. I'll be happy with that. Even, you know, having 20 NES games downloaded onto my system and forever, basically, would be great. You know, even even if they don't add another game for another month or two. Like, I'd be fine with that, because it's like, okay, well, now I have all these games to play. And if they keep doing stuff like that, if you can download all the games they release weekly and it stays on your system, that would be awesome. You'd end up having like 100 games after a year. So, and they're small files, so.
I don't know. I could see Nintendo going many different directions with this. I could see them not wanting to permanently give us those games, and they treat it as just like a temporary thing, and which even concerns me more, because my question is, and maybe it's been answered somewhere, is what are the restrictions on playing these games? Do you have to be online to play them? Which I guess is part of your streaming question.
Yeah.
And my thing is just like, all right, well, if you're going to do that, then maybe we could download it. And then there has to be a license inside a system that gets renewed whenever it goes online. If your system's offline for too long, then you can't play it. I don't know. Too many questions. So, honestly, I just hope they talk about it more. I'm sure they will at E3. But, God, they're so good at things coming out so soon, and we still know so little about it.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be done at launch in September, and that's 4 months away. And we don't know what this service is, and they want me to pay for it.
Yeah. I mean, we can only pray that we'll get more details at E3, which is a month from today. So.
I pray that the reason they held back on 10 of the games is that they will pull the curtain back and say the other half are Super Nintendo games.
No, they said it was 20 NES games.
They said 20 NES games? Okay.
So it better be some heavy hitters. Like, I'm curious what it could be if it... I'm hoping, this is in an ideal world, this is what I picture happening is, we have partnerships with all these companies or whatever, and we've made deals for the next 4 years or whatever for all the licenses for their old games, and this is, here's some of them, and this is the other 10, and it's like Castlevania and Contra and, you know, like Konami and Capcom and stuff. That's where I hope it's going to go, and they're waiting to make that reveal at E3, where they're just like, yeah, we have like a long-standing relationship with these companies, and this is what we're doing with them. And also, by the way, you know, their games are on the Nintendo Classics. So, yeah.
Yeah, I can see it going that direction.
Also, I still say to this day, I'll never stop saying it, is I do think there's going to be like a retail release of a $50 or $60 NES Classic Edition pack, where it's like, you own a Switch, you want the games, but you don't want to, you can't hunt down a system, or you don't want it. Like, here's the pack of games, and it's just a win-win for everyone. It's a win for us, who we get 30 NES games for $50 or $60, and it's a win for them, where they are making more money on that than they are on the, because they're not having to make the hardware. So it's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah.
So I think that will come out eventually as in some form. So, yeah. You know, it sucks because every time something like this comes out, it's always, well, I guess we'll have to wait till we have more details.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess after E3, we'll have more to report.
Hopefully some positive information, but probably
it's always weird with
probably
them.
More vague information.
Yeah.
Nintendo is just such a stubborn company that they'll do whatever the fuck they feel like, and they don't care. They don't care what you think initially about it. I just hope that we're not going towards a cocky Nintendo again, because the system's selling so well.
Yeah. We'll see. All right, well, another thing that I thought was of interest here, it should be, I'm curious to get your take, is they've announced, this has been rumored for a long time, but now they've like let some more details out. There's a live-action Star Wars TV show coming out that takes place in between Episode 6 and 7, and it's being directed by Jon Favreau. You know who that is?
What has he done?
He did Swingers. He directed the first two Iron Man, maybe okay. The third one as well. And he's a pretty well known director.
What was supposed to take in between 6 and 7?
In between 6 and 7, it's a live action Star Wars TV show, probably an hour long an episode. What's your feelings about that?
Nothing so far, just because there's such an oversaturation of Star Wars stuff that I could care less. It's going to become the new... It's going to become how... I think my Star Wars relationship is going to turn into my superhero relationship soon, just because...
Yeah.
I like superhero... Like, I think people... My friend and stuff think that I just like flat out hate superhero movies. That's not true. Like,
just don't care.
I just don't care anymore. And I'm not denying that a lot of them are good.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many of them that I lost interest.
Yeah.
So now that's how Star Wars is going, where it's just like Nintendo, but Disney is just, they're Disney and they want to make as much money as they possibly can, and that's fine, but you don't get art out of that. You get a shitload of stuff just thrown in your face constantly. And we have such a crazy fan culture now where people freak out whenever they see anything Star Wars related. Doesn't matter what it is. They're just like, oh my God, Star Wars! It's Star Wars! I know I'm going to go to work tonight, and I'm going to have a certain coworker be like, dude, did you hear about that? And he's just going to go nuts about it. And that's why they make these things. Because people... We live in such a culture now where people just got to have stuff constantly. Yeah. Like, we went from, like, Star Wars... Like, the Star Wars movies. They had how many years far apart from each other at certain points?
Well, so originally it was 3 years in between each movie. And there was 3 movies for 20 years.
Right.
So...
Now it's got to be... And they were satisfied... And we were satisfied for a long time. Now it's got to be... We need as much media as possibly can.
Well, the new Han Solo movie's coming out this week or next week or whatever. And the last Star Wars movie came out less than, like, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So...
It's just a money train, dude. And it doesn't... It's not necessarily a negative thing. I don't knock you if you're into those movies. But, like, you're not getting art out of them at this point.
Yeah.
Like, you're just getting, they have become popcorn flicks now,
yeah.
And that's whatever. So, my feelings about a TV show, TV shows, like, I'm not huge on them, but generally these days, TV shows tell much better stories than movies do these days. So,
yeah.
I'd be more...
I wish it was like a Netflix show or something, because there's less restrictions on what a director can do.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with TV, syndicated TV, they go, okay, we signed you on for 26 episodes a season, and it's just like, no matter what story that you want to tell,
exactly,
you have to stretch it out or shrink it down to that size. Whereas at Netflix, you can just be like, it's 8 episodes, and that's what it is.
That's why we get such quality shows. Like,
yeah.
I love Netflix shows, just because, yeah, like you said, there's already a story laid out, and I've seen so many TV shows in the past that I grew attached to, and then I just stopped because they got so bad.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, arguably, you know, unpopular opinion, but you share it, that Breaking Bad got kind of dumb towards the end.
Yeah.
And that's just because it blew up super hard, and when you have that, you have a pressure to stretch a story out and appease fans, and you don't create... It's like... Okay, what if Michelangelo had a bunch of people surrounding him just like, no, do this!
And, yeah,
like,
exactly.
You're not going to get good art. Well, what if Van Gogh, like, this? It sounds like such a pretentious example, but I think what the message is clear, if Van Gogh was like making his art and he wasn't starving and people were just around him just being like, no, I like this. Make Starry Night 3.0 for me.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at with TV shows and that type of medium. So where's this being released on?
TV, like this cable,
it's cable,
probably
television
one of the Disney owned channels, CBS or NBC or whatever they own. No, NBC's Universal. See, like, you know, they own like Fox and stuff, or TNT, like those types of channels. Not PBS, NBC. I don't know. One of those BBCs.
I just compare TV shows like this to just they're the popularized new soap operas. When I hear people talking about it, they're just like, did you see that one character?
Yeah.
I can't believe he said that to that one character.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's where we're at now. And, like, that's entertaining to a lot of people. But to me, that's just, I have video games, I have so much stuff I can be watching, so many TV shows, so many great movies out there, that when I do have the time, because you and I have such busy lives now, that
mm-hmm.
when we do have the time, we're going to watch, like, our YouTube channels. We're going to watch something that actually has a story to tell.
Yeah.
So I'll give it a try. Like, I think I'm at the point now where if a show doesn't, like, really pull me in an episode or two in the beginning right away,
yeah.
then I'm out.
Westworld was good, and I think that's a good example of HBO is great when it comes to, as well. They're like on the level of Netflix as far as giving creative freedom to the director. And if they want to make 4 episodes or they want to make 20, you know, they have that freedom to do so. And yeah, so I mean, I didn't ask you about the Star Wars TV show because I thought that you would have insight or interest in the story so much as exactly what you said, which is I was curious to see your feelings on Star Wars in general. And yeah, I agree. It's just they're incapable of not taking something popular and running it into the ground,
mm-hmm.
which is a shame because I was a huge Star Wars fan growing up. I'm sure this is the story that a lot of people have, where it's just like growing up, I had 3 movies and that's all I needed, and I had all the toys and had like all the action figures. I used to go to Star Wars weekends and wait at 4 in the morning in a line out the theme park to, you know, meet Carrie Fisher and stuff, and it was just, and she would sign, you know, your action figure or whatever. And we would go to like conventions and stuff, meet the actors, and that stuff was cool to me. And I was just a huge like just nut fan, had read the books and stuff. And like now it's a combination of oversaturation and just lack of caring or quality because of the saturation. They don't give a fuck, they're just like pump them out. And yeah, I saw this and 10 years ago, even, I would have been like, holy shit, a live-action Star Wars show. Because this has been rumored for 15 years now, mm-hmm. or something like that. This was something they were talking about in the early 2000s, a Star Wars live-action TV show, hour-long episodes. So, yeah, but it's just funny because now they've killed it themselves, where now it just comes out and you're like, yep, yeah. Star Wars stuff.
Yeah. I could care less about the Han Solo movie. I could care less.
Doesn't look good. So, all right. Well, we got another interesting tidbit here.
Okay.
They unveiled another mini console, the Neo Geo Mini.
Yes, they did.
The Neo Geo Mini, and this is an interesting one because it's a all-in-one little tiny baby arcade cabinet with a screen built into it and a joystick and buttons. Have you seen it?
Yeah. It looks really neat.
Comes with 40 games. No price yet. Comes with 40 games and let's see. It's got ports for a controller and a HDMI out, and let me just pull up the
list of games. I'm trying to find the list of games here. I think that I think it's such a cool little thing so far, but I'm not really sold on it just yet.
So this is kind of marketed towards someone like you, or really marketed towards just about everyone who doesn't own a Neo Geo arcade cabinet.
Well, the problem for me on it so far is that when I look through the list of games, and they're not, most of them are, you know, they're decent, but like I'm not really a big fighting game guy,
right?
And that's like a whole.
So the problem is that we'll go through the list here. The problem is that it's all first party stuff, which is the majority of the library, but there are some really great third party games on the Neo Geo that aren't on here. So just going through. Got King of Fighters 95, King of Fighters 97, King of Fighters 98, King of Fighters 2000, King of Fighters 2002. Now here's the ding. Anyone who knows anything about Neo Geo knew there was going to be like 5 King of Fighters games on this.
Yes.
So this didn't surprise me in the slightest. Art of Fighting, Fatal Fury Special, Real Bout Fatal Fury.
We're talking all fighting games. So
Garou, Mark of the Wolves. Samurai Showdown 2, Samurai Showdown 4, Samurai Showdown 5 Special, The Last Blade 2, World Heroes Perfect, Kizuna Encounter, I don't know that game, Metal Slug 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and X. That's awesome that they put all 6 on there.
Yeah.
King of Monsters 1 and 2, those are great games.
Those are great.
Those are like wrestling games with like
giant
Godzilla
city
and stuff.
Structures,
yeah,
and stuff. I like those games.
Shock Troopers 1 and 2, which are awesome games. Sengoku 3, which is cool. Ninja Masters, Top Players Golf. This is disappointing because there's a much superior golf game on there called Neo Turf Masters. It's way more like arcadey. Super Sidekicks, I don't know what that is. Blazing Star, I think that's a shooter.
Yeah.
Puzzled, okay. Magician Lord, that's like a action platforming game. Robo Army, Cross Swords, Mutation Nation, Three Count Bout, Last Resort, Ghost Pilots, and Football Frenzy. So those are the 40 games. It's possible that this might have a slot that they'll add more. I don't know if you remember the Neo Geo X, but they, you know, it's like that portable system, the handheld one.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Had a cartridge slot, and they actually did release more game packs for it later on, beyond what was built in. So, I own a Neo Geo arcade machine.
Yeah.
So, this is not for me.
No.
But as someone who likes Neo Geo and likes games, what are your thoughts on this?
So far, very highly curious, not sold.
Yeah.
Just because, and this is just specific to me, just because there's just so many fighting games that like overtake that list, and I'm just not, I want to get into fighting games more. I just never got into them as a kid. So if I'm going to get into fighting games, I'm not going to pick up a Neo Geo Mini and get into those games. I'm going to get into current gen fighting games at this point.
That's like half, or not even half, fighting games.
Right.
So you got like 25 games on there.
I'm not finished. I'm just saying that like there's a lot of places for a lot, like no Super Baseball's on. Super Baseball's not on there.
Yeah.
Magical Drop's not on there.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of
Puzzle games. Money Exchange is
Puzzle
on
Money
there.
Exchange is good, and I'm Blazing Star is actually, I hear it's a really cool game, and I'm actually really getting into shooters now, so that intrigues me, and of course Metal Slug, like who doesn't love Metal Slug,
right?
All those games are phenomenal. I don't know. I think it's caught me in an odd time just because I'm trimming down my stuff and I don't want so many things in my room, just like crowding up my entertainment system. It's super cool that it's a handheld device. And
yeah, I picture this sitting on like a desk.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you're at your desk or whatever, you want to take a few minutes.
That's where I'm at with it. And it's just going to be a matter of how much is it. And
okay,
I don't even know what my limit on.
I was about to say, what's your price range?
I think honestly, like $80 is fair.
Would you go out and buy one for $80? That's what I'm asking, is what is the price point that they could reveal that you would be like, I'll buy that day one?
60.
60 bucks?
60 would be day one.
I'll hold you to that. If it's 60 bucks, I'm going to make sure you buy it. Yeah, see? Now you're backtracking.
Well, it's just the games list. It's just something where I'm not exactly blown away.
Yeah.
That's all. And man, the thing is, I think that's just really specific to me, because I do feel like there's a lot of people out there who are blown away by this list, because those are like great fighting games that are on there. Like those are all famous, like Fatal Fury.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really popular gaming franchise, and so I don't know, man. I think you know what? $60, it would be really hard for me to say no to it.
Yeah,
$80, and I'll contemplate it for a while.
I think it'll be 100.
Yeah, realistically.
Because it includes the screen.
It includes the screen, so, yeah. And if the controller is going to be any type of quality, the joystick and all that stuff, it's got to be more expensive.
I don't understand how you're going to be able to
I
hold
know.
The controls.
Well, that's also what I wanted to talk about, just because, yeah, I love handhelds. But I love handhelds because they're convenient.
Yeah.
I love laying down in my bed and having a handheld and just holding like this in my bed and convenience of playing it. And that's not convenient. I'm not gonna lay in my bed with that.
I need to get that Neo Geo flash cart is what I need.
Oh yeah, you do. You could. You're a current like car thing. It's good for what you pay.
Well, there's so many games on it.
It's just not perfect.
Every time we go on there, we find a new game we like. But yeah, it's not perfect. It's not perfect. It's like a weird like bootleg.
It has obviously some weird
sound issues yeah. and things like that. But the biggest thing is that I just want more games.
Right.
That's another one where that cart has like 30 King of Fighters games. Literally, like the first 30 games are King of Fighters. So
it's good news, and Genesis is probably going to come out with a really, Sega's probably going to come out with a really shitty one, and then Neo Geo is going to come out with that one and be like, this is what people want, stupid.
Yeah.
Like, so.
Yeah, and yeah. then if it takes off, then you'll see a bunch of companies scrambling. We got to make one with a screen on it.
Oh, absolutely. That'll happen. So. You'll see a little crappy CRT, like a little old, like 70s TV, Atari and televisions and stuff out there.
God.
Which I'm sure are going to be just shit.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know. I didn't actually write this one down, but I forgot about it. I don't know if you heard of this. There's a new gold Famicom Mini coming out in Japan.
The Shonen Jump collection.
I want that real bad.
I immediately thought of you. I was like, I don't want that, but I know someone who does.
Yeah. Like I want that real bad.
What is
it
coming out?
It's all like Dragon Ball Z games and stuff.
Yeah, that's super cool.
And it's comes out in July. Could not find any information on pre-orders or anything.
Well, I'll be there in August, man. I'll look out for it.
Yeah, good luck with that.
You think so?
Super limited, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like for the 50th anniversary of Shonen Jump or whatever. And
it's got tag team match, Muscle, Dragon Quest. That's cool. Fist of the North Star, Dragon Ball, Shenron no Nazu, Kinakuma, Kinakusei Oi Sodonsion, Saint Seiya Ugan Desetsu, Captain Tsubasa, Saint Seiya Ugan. I really took on a task here reading all these. These are a lot of Dragon Ball games. Some Dragon Ball games on here. We got Famicom Jump 2, Psycho no Seichin.
Mm-hmm. I think I own that game somewhere. Yeah.
That's like a collection of a bunch of fighters, of like a bunch of characters. Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's like a collection of all their various franchises.
Yeah, so, Famicom Jump 1 and 2 are going to be in there.
That's cool.
They got Dragon Ball 1 and 3. So there's a lot of cool stuff on here. I mean, that's not at all for me.
Yeah. So, I'm very interested in it, and I hope I can snag one for less than $100. So, yeah, I guess when you go, if I can't find one online, I guess when you go,
I'll probably find one in a store that's being resold for an amount.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So, I mean, that's perfect because it's like I had mild interest in the Famicom Mini,
mm-hmm.
but the games weren't different enough to warrant buying it, and this is perfect because it's like a collector's item. It's the Famicom Mini, and it's a totally different set of games.
Right.
So it's everything perfect if you wanted one but didn't want to get it.
We won't get any variations. Like, I don't think we will. Do you think we'll get a variation?
No.
Classic editions at all? I doubt it.
No.
There's just no need because those are all the hot games that people want. There's not going to be. We're not like Japan where people have like, oh my god, I want all the niche games. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, no.
So, alright, wrapping this up, we got one more topic.
Okay.
So for the 30th anniversary, 25th anniversary of Mega Man X and the 30th anniversary of Mega Man 2, I Am 8-Bit is re-releasing their...
God.
Mega Man 2 and Mega Man X on actual Nintendo and Super Nintendo cartridges, hardware that play on the actual systems. Have you heard about this already?
Yeah, it's stupid.
And then random ones are like glow in the dark and stuff.
I don't get this. I don't get these. I don't like it.
Yeah. I would like it if...
It wasn't $100?
Yes. Here's my problem with it is...
Mega Man X is like a really cheap game.
Yeah, you can get...
And Mega Man 2 is a cheap game. Both those games are cheap in common.
They're the cheapest games in their series.
So stupid.
So,
they're just targeting idiot collectors. Yeah. Like, whatever. Like, if you want to buy this thing, you have the money for it, go for it. I buy stupid shit. But this is stupid. Like, you got to buy this thing and know that you're paying money on a dumb product.
If it was Mega Man X3, then I probably would have been more interested in it, because that's a $200 loose game.
At least, like, what was it, Data East or
Data
whatever?
Data East did a multi-car.
Did a multi-car, like, you know, and they released some games that, like, were relatively hard to come by.
Yeah.
They at least, you know what? Their price was still kind of a bit much for my taste, but at least it has some kind of value to it, because these are games that you can't come across, and they're multi-car. Like, they had, like, a Joe and Mac collection.
Right.
Joe and Mac's a great collection of games, and the sequels are hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
So that made sense to me. When I saw this announcement, I'm like, Mega Man 2, Mega Man X? Like, who cares?
They did it because they're the two most popular games, so people are going to see it and go, oh man, Mega Man X.
Oh man, I get that old school cartridge. Like, it's just like,
Yeah, complete in box, in like good condition. You can get like a mint Mega Man X for like $70, and you could get like a complete one for like, just generally complete, maybe the box a little bit beat up, for like $40-$50. So
I don't get it. I don't understand. Thing is, it will sell, which is so silly.
Yeah. Yeah, it will. So
they can't print out a huge amount of them, though. They have to make these things limited. So, what are you doing?
We're running a tight production here.
Got to get my charger so I can pre-order that Mega Man X2. About to sell out.
So, you're a no-buy, then, for the Mega Man X and Mega Man 2 $100 carts?
I am 100% no-buy on that $100 cart.
Okay. Well, on that note, what have you been playing?
I haven't been playing much at all right now, just because I'm so busy. It's just been... I played the Splatfest, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Splatfest. The second round's going on tonight. I don't have time for it.
Who'd you vote for?
The first round, I voted for Leonardo. And he lost. It was
versus who?
Raphael. Which, yeah. I saw that coming.
Come on, man.
Raphael's way more popular. My actual turtle of choice is Donatello, which is this round. But I don't have any time to play it. But the best part about the Splatfest is all based on the brand new Teenage Mutant Turtles cartoon. Which, have you seen any of the artwork for this at all?
No, but every Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
every
they've
time.
Done is like bad. Since the original,
it's really
like
bad.
They just progressively have less and less features and more just like, oh no.
<It's> so
oh no.
They wanted to actually design the turtles like after
their
different types of turtles,
oh,
and their personalities,
God.
And such, and
oh boy,
and it's bad. And like, even me being a Splatoon fan, I love it when they have Splatfest, because they'll release cool official artwork for like the characters and stuff, who they represent, the host. They did it for Splatoon 1. They had like Holly Marie, and like, it's always cool artwork. This is the artwork they did for fucking this week's, and they have Marina as Donatello, and she just looks terrible.
God. Awful.
Like, complete garbage. So, whatever. I have fun with Splatfest. This is not what I'm playing, but I'm hoping to play Reverier. I can't pronounce the damn game properly. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. They're releasing a Switch
version?
No, a Vita physical copy is going to be coming out.
Can you see the game? I think I know what you're talking about, and they just announced a Switch version.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, it's like a...
Oh, maybe not.
No, it's an action-adventure game that's highly inspired.
You know that RPG series that we've talked about briefly for like PS3 and PS4 that we see on the shelves sometimes at GameStop, that's like art rare, and it's like it's got like the anime girls on the front of it or whatever. And it's just like a magical, like a witch RPG or something like that.
Oh.
It's like a long-running series.
I'm out. I don't know what it is.
Okay. You would know it if you saw it.
Well, this is an action... Well, Reverier is a action-adventure game that's highly inspired by the Mother series.
I could see that.
There's a whole lot of those games, but this game... I've had my eye on it for a while because it looks like a lot of fun, and I've just been holding out for the Vita physical copy.
Do they have other physical copies?
They're going to have a PS4 one as well. And the good news for PS4 users is that you'll have an option. They're releasing two editions, of course, a standard and a limited edition. For the Vita copy, they're only doing a limited edition print of it.
Okay.
So, yeah. Comes out in the middle of May, actually, well, really soon. So...
Looks cool.
Yeah, I'm looking into that, and I'm always happy to add a cool new Vita game to my collection.
I know you are.
Because Play Asia is the one releasing that one. I'll give you a release date on that second here. But I don't know. I know what you're playing. Let's talk about. Here we go. We got another half hour on this podcast.
I have been playing the new Switch release of Darkest Dungeon, and I am absolutely in love with this game. It is a 2D RPG dungeon crawler in the vein of like Dark Souls. That's clearly where they got their inspiration. All the music is like gothic horror music, and the dungeons you go into, the whole world in general is all like decayed and diseased and just dreary, and the game is insanely punishing. There's like, it's like a roguelike, kind of like, you're not a roguelike, but your guys die, there's permadeath, so if you like get somebody killed in the dungeon, then they die for good. And any progress you've made with that person, if they're leveled up or they have equipment on them that you've upgraded, it's gone. So there's a lot of penalty for losing. And, you can't really do it justice explaining it. I popped this game in about a week ago or two. I don't know now. Just to see how it was. And then the next thing I knew, it was dark out. And I just got sucked into it. It's really, really great game if you like statistics and like micromanaging RPGs and like it's I don't even want to say it's grindy, because you don't, in my mind, when you say you have to grind, I'm picturing like you have to seek out battles to level up your guys. It's not like that at all. I actually, because it's so punishing, you want to avoid any battles. So like sometimes your guys will be able to scout out the upcoming paths, and it'll show on the map where there's like battles waiting for you, and you can actually like go around so you don't hit them.
That's awesome.
And that's so like, so you have to do stuff like that because of how punishing the game is and stuff. And it's just a constant resource management and stat-based, various, like, poison stats and, you know, ailments and things like that. It's very heavily based on, yeah, status ailments. That's, like, the biggest thing. Lots of resistances and stuff. So it's a very, very technical RPG that really rewards you for taking your time and making the right decisions. I've been playing that nonstop, and I haven't been playing anything else. And it's very addicting. It's got the perfect amount of like just one more mission, and that's because everything's so driven by grinding up, leveling up, and stuff. That it's like, okay, well, if I just go on one more mission, I can upgrade my strongest guy's sword, and then I'll be able to go on that next mission that's the harder level mission. And, I love it. I can't recommend it enough. Now, this is technically cheating because it's didn't come out this year, but it came out on Switch this year. And it's my game of the year so far. So it's been my favorite game this year so far.
That's great. Like, there's a physical copy available for it, so...
Yeah.
I'll probably just bug you and borrow your copy at some point.
It came out on all the systems physically, and it's got a... It comes with all the DLC and stuff.
Somebody, like my coworker, actually, the other day, he's our tech guy. When we were setting the outside movie up, he actually mentioned Darkest Dungeon without me even bringing it up.
Oh, yeah?
He was just like, playing Darkest Dungeon right now, and I'm like, oh, God, my friend freaking raves about that game, and then he started raving about it. I'm like, God, I can't escape this goddamn game.
What was he saying?
He's in love with it, but he's a lot like, I think he's a very similar gamer to you, and like that he loves like really challenging experiences.
But it's not that challenging in that it's not like as challenging as Dark Souls in that you're gonna get killed repeatedly without warning. Like in Dark Souls, you'll just fall off cliffs, or you know the boss will kill you in one hit or whatever. It's not like that. If you are cautious and take your time and do the right decisions, like I very, very rarely lose a character.
I'm tempted because I'm super into RPGs and stuff, and I've gotten pretty decent at them now. Like,
yeah,
because I'm very OCD about this shit, and I'll carefully plan every action of mine. So
yeah,
I'll have to check it out.
All right, well, that's all I've got for today. So. You know, if you made it this far and you're still listening, I'd like to thank you personally for keeping up with the Game Boys podcast.
I want to thank you, too. I want to just really shout out to anybody listening out there. Shout out to my brother, Michael, who has been tuning in occasionally, too. So that's been nice. So
thanks, Michael.
Thanks, pal. And there's a... How can they get a hold... If you guys want to talk to us, there's a few ways you can do that. How can they talk to us?
It's 867-5309. no, it's...
we have Twitter.
Yes, you can follow us on Twitter at the underscore Game Boys with a Z. You can follow us on YouTube. We do post these clips up on YouTube. And it's the Game Boys on YouTube, and we have an Instagram. I don't use it at all. You can subscribe to the podcast on Podbean and Google Play Music, iTunes, the whole shebang.
It's out there. You guys got to listen to it.
Yeah, seek it out, and
press the play button.
If you listen to this and you made it 57 minutes in, which is where we're at, and you're still listening, just hit the fucking subscribe button. you clearly can't get enough of us. Just do it.
Yeah. Shout out to Jazz Hands or whatever, who's gonna post Dad Simulator.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Shout out Dad Simulator.
Love that guy.
Yeah. So. yeah. Thanks for listening. Now we'll see you next time.
See you next time.